Thanks for joining us on Notepad. We're broadcasting from the All Asia Broadcasting Centre here in Bukit Jalil, Kuala Lumpur. We want to explore something that just happened a few weeks ago, which is World Asthma Day 2022. On that day, there were two key speeches that was given by the, illustrious individuals in the healthcare sector, Minister of Health, YB Khairi Jamaluddin, as well as the co-founder for Asthma Malaysia, Dr. Ehmiah Jamaidin, is also a consultant respiratory physician here in a hospital in Kuala Lumpur. Dr. Helmi joins us for this evening. Dr. Helmi, we want to explore a little bit more about Asthma Malaysia as well as the World Asthma Day. Some of the items that transpired during that day include things like the structural changes and structural improvements that can be installed inside the Malaysian healthcare system in order to better improve on the understanding of asthma, the ability for us to actually help patients with asthma, but more importantly, how do we navigate this whole idea of Malaysia being, living with a better respiratory health. Maybe you could walk through us some of the key ideas that you shared for on that day here on this show.
Right, thank you for having me. Where do I begin? I think the issues facing asthma is very much a microcosm of all the issues facing other NCDs in Malaysia, because you have issues that are both short-term and long-term. And as we move away from dealing with the pandemic and being very focused on just infectious diseases, we are left and we are, I think, becoming a bit more aware of the things that we have neglected over the past couple of years. So when it comes to asthma, for example, the theme for this year's World Asthma Day was closing the gaps. And we're talking about gaps at so many levels. We have got gaps when it comes to patient awareness, whether they actually have asthma or not. There are gaps in terms of awareness amongst providers. So even doctors, for example, we may not have the right diagnostic equipment, we may not have the right amount of knowledge to diagnose and treat patients appropriately. And then you become a little bit more systemic and holistic in terms of the challenges that we face. So things like access to healthcare, the ability to purchase or to have access to certain types of treatment, particularly if you have types of asthma that requires more individualized treatment. So you can see when it comes to gaps, we're talking about not just the treatment, it's not just about me giving the inhaler to the patient in front of me, it's the whole process before the patient actually gets up to meeting me, and all the way from seeing me to the follow-up after that. How do they continue on the right medication? How do they ensure that they have access in terms of the cost, in terms of going to hospital? And this is something that's very encompassing. It's something that's not just about the public sector, but also the private sector, and really about how the two systems come together. And I think this is something that is, once again, very much applicable to not just asthma, but to other NCDs. So when you talk about diabetes, you talk about hypertension, blood issues, or rather blood pressure issues, heart diseases, these are all things that are very much determined by the system. And I think this is what we're trying to push ahead. We're trying to talk a bit more about reform of the system. And I think this is also where YB Khairi Jamaluddin was very much aware of the need for a healthcare reform and why he's pushing for a white paper to look at the potential reforms that we can introduce.
Of course, you touched on a very critical point here. The healthcare system is already under strain and it's just been highlighted over the past 2.5 years because of the pandemic. We've seen how the budget for the healthcare system, while increasing, most of it is actually moving into operations rather than development budget. And we want to learn more about how, as you put it, the private healthcare system versus the public healthcare system can come together to actually address this. But we're also talking about cultural mindset change, a shift, so to speak, because NCDs need to be addressed and nip in the bud, I suppose, from adopting a healthier lifestyle to just ensuring that one can continuously have a healthy lifestyle sustainably. Do you feel that these kind of cultural mindset shift is important to be had, and this conversation must be had like yesterday, not even now?
I agree, and I think it's a way of looking at things, once again, in a very holistic fashion, because the operations, as you mentioned, so the actual provision of treatment to the patient in front of you, that's just one tiny aspect of the whole thing. But unfortunately, it actually takes up most of the cost. So if you look at the cost of things, it's going to be much higher when somebody has already fallen ill, when somebody's already critical, when someone needs a bed space or an ICU space. And you want to avoid people from getting to that level, not only from a cost point of view, but also, of course, in terms of being humane. You don't want people to suffer. And going back to what you said, it's partly about education, it's partly about health literacy, which I think has improved over the past couple of years. Because if you think about it, you know, perhaps 2 years ago, pre-pandemic, we probably did not talk as much about our healthcare system as we do today. We probably did not look at the advantages that we have in terms of cost, for example, but also the discrepancies or the gaps that we have in terms of what we're able to provide to people. And it's great that this conversation is happening today, because as we become more and more aware of our rights as users of the healthcare service, we can question these things and we can demand for more, but we have to be able to do so in a way that's very, I suppose, enlightened, as well as in a way that looks into the cost, the sustainability, and as we move forward, things that are also very, I suppose, ESG friendly, because we want to look at things once again in a way that is very holistic, both for the short term, but also for the long term.
We'll go for one short break. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation with Dr. Hilmi Hajjah Maidin. Thanks for staying on with us. I have with me Dr. Hilmi, the co-founder of Asthma Malaysia. Early on, before the break, you were talking about a structural reset or reform that is needed in the Malaysian healthcare system when it comes to dealing with NCDs. Perhaps you can elaborate a little bit more about what plans are in store for us to address this so-called shift or reset that is required.
We do have lots of stakeholder engagements, which is being organized from KKM itself, from the Ministry of Health. And they are, at this point in time, talking to various individuals, both in terms of the private sector, the public sector, but also industry, and of course, most importantly, the end users, the ultimate stakeholders, the people on the ground who are actually using these services. And the idea is that the issues are picked up, because I don't think it's really realistic or feasible to solve everything. So we need to know what are the low-hanging fruits. We need to know what are the biggest impacts that we can make from the relatively small choices that we need to make. And what can be done today, what can be done in the short term, and what needs to be done in the longer term. I think the elephant in the room is always going to be the financing side of things. How do we ensure that moving forward, we don't run into problems that other countries are facing at this point in time, where because everything is being provided at a low cost, at the back end, there are problems in terms of sustainability and the ability to fund things. That, I think, is going to be a very important conversation. And when it does happen in a more public fashion, it'll be interesting to see how different people respond to it. Because once again, when you're dealing with many stakeholders, you're dealing with many people with different points of view and different vested interests. So we need to find that kind of, I suppose, Goldilocks level where, you know, everyone is able to get something out of a new system, but at the same time, it's not too deprived from it because of the changes that will be made.
What would be some of the hints that you think could be done, perhaps some clues into the work that MOH is doing right now?
They will be presenting a white paper. I believe it's due to be presented in November, and I think the details will be there. At this point in time, if we look at the statements being made by the stakeholder engagement sessions, it's nothing that I suppose would come up as a surprise. We want to reduce waiting times. We want to be able to provide for more. I mean, if I take a step back, you know, we are dealing with a society that's aging. We're dealing with a society that, because of more personalized medicine, we have increasing cost of medication. So those are the worries and concerns that are being shared. And then once again, the question becomes, how do we have a mechanism where these things can be provided for in an equitable fashion, right? We don't want to have a situation where socioeconomic disparity leads to issues where there's a discrepancy in terms of health outcomes. How do we address those things? And these are, like I said, unsurprising, right? It's something that's being discussed not just in Malaysia, but globally. How do we come to a point where we can settle these issues in a way that's fair and in a way that's just? And that, I hope, is something that even if we don't have the final perfect solution come November, at least we raise the right issues and we start the conversation and the journey towards making the right policy changes.
Okay, one more break before I conclude our conversation with Dr. Hilmi of Asthma Malaysia. Thanks for staying on with us. I have with me on the line Dr. Hilmi Hajjah Maidin, the co-founder of Asthma Malaysia. But I also want to talk a little bit about your other role right now, which is to be the coordinator on reviewing the draft tobacco bill This is, of course, harkening back to that whole story of how the government, or in this case, in particular, Minister YB Khairi Jamaluddin, trying to present a bill that is banning those born above 2007 from ever buying any tobacco products. Could you perhaps share with us some of the updates regarding this matter?
The ban is meant to be for those born after 2005. At the moment, that's the policy that we are focusing on. And as you pointed out, it's a bill that we are hoping to present, and it's the generational endgame is one element of the entire thing where we are hoping to look into how to regulate vaping, electronic cigarettes, where we're hoping to introduce more stringent tobacco control measures. And I think YB mentioned just a few days ago how we are looking at display bans, for example. So it, once again, is about looking at things in a slightly more holistic fashion. And when it comes to NCBs, you need to look at, once again, education, but also what are the triggers, what are the risk factors that are potentially modifiable. And tobacco is one key thing. As with the health reform side of things, we are doing lots of engagement sessions. We have been quite proactive in reaching out to people to hear their concerns, their ideas, their expectations. And we've been working closely with the Health Parliamentary Select Committee, who is also looking at things independently so that we don't miss out any important stakeholders. And when we do present the bill in, hopefully, inshallah, in July, we'll be getting broad-based support from everyone who is involved.
But the panel of experts consulting the MOH is actually quite illustrious. If I can just run through the name very quickly. We got Dr. Lek Raj, the President of the Malaysian Council for Tobacco Control. We have Rosli Zawati, President of MyWatch and Malaysia Women's Action on Tobacco Control. Dr. Amir Siddiq, a psychiatrist, Chief Coordinator for UMMC's Addiction Sciences. Dr. Stephen Chow, the President of Addiction Medicine Association of Malaysia. Wong Tiu Hoon, the President of Malaysia Singapore Coffee Shop Proprietors General Association, as well as Azrul Khalib, a good friend of Estrawani, the CEO of Garland Center. So these group of people, are they still... on top of that, we have you, Dr. Hilmi, Technical Advisor to the Ministry on this matter. Is this committee still ongoing, or is it has it run its course and done its purpose? What do we have as it stands right now?
It's ongoing. The committee meets and discusses the issues that have been raised by stakeholders, and I don't think it'll ever end, in the sense that, you know, the introduction of a bill or an act is one step in this long journey of trying to get the prevalence of smoking in Malaysia to zero. And even when we do have an act, it's a living document. It's something that is going to constantly change depending on circumstances, depending on evidence that's produced and presented to us. So I think in terms of tobacco control as a whole, it's never ending. For the duration of, well, I suppose between now and the actual implementation or the actual approval of the bill, when it comes to it, then of course the committee will continue to serve in terms of being able to provide an independent voice when it comes to the data that's presented, the evidence that's presented, and also trying to, I suppose, find that, once again, that kind of Goldilocks level where we are taking everyone's views on board and we're able to balance the importance of public health considerations versus perhaps economic considerations.
You're right. This is just one of the components in terms of addressing a better Malaysia healthcare system, from the white paper bill that is expected to be presented in November, the tabling of the bill, tobacco control bill, the awareness campaigns, for instance, the World Asthma Day on May 19th that you have done with the Minister of Health. So many aspects are being introduced. Do you feel that you're moving the needle when it comes to improving the Malaysian healthcare in general, at least when it comes to the respiratory sciences right now in Malaysia?
Yes, I think COVID, you know, if you had to look for a silver lining, perhaps it's made a lot more people a lot more aware of issues that revolve around the lungs and diseases that revolve around the lungs. So asthma is a great, good example where people are talking about it, where they're worried, whether justifiably or not, that, you know, if they are exposed to a particular virus or to particular respiratory pathogens, it might involve or result in them having worsening diseases. So it's once again created that this conversation. Now, how we shape the conversation, how we provide more valuable information, how do we adjust the direction of the conversation, I think that's where healthcare professionals have a bigger role to play, and of course media organizations such as ourselves, because it's very, very important when it comes to health literacy that communications kind of goes both ways, right? We listen to what people need, we listen to what people are unfamiliar with, and if there's any misinformation out there, we address those things proactively and aggressively. We are seeing that with COVID, we're seeing that with vaccination issues or anti-vaccine issues. So I think that's given us some idea of what needs to be done and how we need to be persistent with it. It's not the first time I've talked about asthma, it won't be the last time. And every time I feel that, you know, our organization, for example, does something, yes, it may feel like Groundhog Day, right? We're doing something similar again and again, but each time we do something, it addresses a different group of the population, it addresses a different need of the population. And once again, the goal is that each time you do something, you create some more awareness, and eventually you will get a nice majority of people who have greater control of their own well-being, and as a result, have better healthcare moving forward.
I hate to drag politics into this, but one would argue that something like healthcare would be universal, that would be, you know, consistent across governments, no matter who is in charge. But do you feel that political risk or government risk is going to be put on the front and center because election is in the air, the minister might change, in fact, the administration might change, who knows, right? People are betting on the incumbent to continue to win, but you know, you never know. So do you feel that these kind of regulatory risks and government risks are going to put some of the efforts that you and your colleagues are doing in peril, or at least at the very least at risk?
There'll always be some risk, but I don't think that should deter us from doing what we can at this point in time. If you look at the healthcare reform paper, for example, it's meant to be a document that is to last beyond any one particular minister or one particular administration. It's to look at things very independently, to look at things very factually, so that whoever comes into power, they are aware of the problem statements, they're aware of what needs to be done, and we can work together to drive the solutions forward. And if you get that buy-in, and once again, if we use entities such as the Parliamentary Select Committee, which is set, or rather has got multiple MPs from multiple parties set together and to thrash out and discuss these things, then you can see a mechanism moving forward where if they can agree on a particular problem, then even if they don't necessarily agree on the same solution, they can come together to do something that is going to be beneficial for the rakyat. And, you know, it might sound very idealistic, it may sound a bit naive on my part, but we have seen it happen before. And inshallah, once again, if we work together and we highlight the issues, especially if it's driven from the rakyat upwards rather than being given from the top down, then we should see more and more MPs coming on board for solutions that are better for all of us.
Another stakeholder or actor that needs to be addressed would be some of the big pharma, big tobacco companies that might put the efforts that you guys are doing at odds with their own commercial interests. How are you navigating that whole actor that might present some sort of a challenge towards your work?
I think the important thing here is whatever that we're doing, we're not doing it in isolation, and we're not doing this as individuals. Just as how there are many, I suppose, components to a particular industrial propaganda. When it comes to health, there are also lots of players who are very passionate and who truly believe in wanting to improve healthcare outcomes. So we're talking not just about doctors in public health. We're talking about people who are working in the administration side of things in KKM, NGOs, professional bodies, people in the media, people who are parents, people who are actually smokers who actually want to quit. So there's actually a lot of people out there who feel strongly about the need to move forward if we're talking about tobacco, for example. And once again, if you can harness the energy and the efforts and the issues that are being brought forward by people who actually want to make change, we can drive things forward. So yes, it's challenging. We're faced against an industry that's got billions to throw on marketing, on propaganda, for want of a better word. But at the same time, they are faced with a solid group of people who also believe that by working together, we may not once again come up with a perfect solution, but we can make things more difficult for people to end up being addicts. We can make it a little bit better in terms of healthcare outcomes. And our goal isn't to get perfection tomorrow. Our goal is to end things within a few decades. And every little step, no matter what type of policy that we're doing, it inches us towards the ultimate goal.
All right. Thank you very much, Dr. Hilmi. Any last words before we conclude our conversation?
No, I think, thank you very much. I think it's great that we're having this conversation. And like I said, it's great that we are having more and more people talk about healthcare issues as a whole. If we look at countries across the globe, healthcare is always an important factor when it comes to elections, when it comes to politics. And I'm hopeful that as we become more aware of our own needs, our own rights, we become more vocal in demanding for better healthcare outcomes, irrespective of who's in power.
Okay, thank you very much. That was Dr. Hilmi Ajamairin, the consultant respiratory physician, the technical advisor on the generational ban to the Malaysian Health Ministry, as well as co-founder of Asthma Malaysia. Dr. Hilmi, you are wearing so many hats. It's unbelievable. I can't fit your name on the lower third. But thank you very much for taking the time to speak with us. If you've missed any part of this interview, just head on to astroawani.com. Look for Notepad. There are plenty of interviews like this. Dr. Hilmi is also a friend of Astro Awani. There's a lot of other shows that he has been on talking about the matter. And of course, we continuously need to improve on, you know, so to speak, the health literacy. And perhaps if you have any ideas on sharing your thoughts on this, do find us on Twitter. Both of us are rather active there. And share your thoughts there. Till then, thanks very much for watching and goodbye.